Welcome to God and Country Radio. Parma discusses current political, social, economic, and prophetic events in the life of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Central New Jersey. On this week's program, I want to revisit a program I did about a month ago called The Transgender Worldview. This will be part two. There are some additional points that need to be covered, and further reinforcement of some previous points. As Paul wrote to the Philippians, to write the same thing again is no trouble to me, and it's a safeguard for you. I'm sorry to have to address transgenderism again. If you're like me, I'm sure you're getting tired of the whole thing. Every day the news media has some new article about transgenderism, especially with the Budweiser controversy over Budweiser using the transgender influencer Dylan Mulvaney to promote their beer. Transgender controversial stories are constantly being run in the media because they interest people and generate a lot of clicks and views. But mostly because transgenderism is where the culture war is being fought. And the culture war is really over God's rule versus man's rule, God's truth versus man's truth, and it's finding its expression in transgenderism. Is society going to agree with God that in the beginning he made them male and female? Or is society going to reject theism and attempt to erase gender? Mankind's rebellion against God, or fidelity to God, is displayed in the physical world through these behavioral choices. Transgenderism and LGBTQ draw the line in the sand, exposing where everyone stands, who people choose to be their God. So let's not underestimate or ignore the transgender movement. It's a choice for or against God. And by explaining the issue in those terms, we have a great opportunity to lead people to Christ, to help people decide for God over this world. In a recent Washington Post article about transgenderism and public opinion, the journalist quotes Alyssa Wells, age 29, a behavioral therapist in Daytona Beach, Florida. She said her views on transgenderism have changed in recent years as she has learned more, chiefly from Christian podcasts. Quote, "At first, I was on the side of acceptance, like using the pronouns and stuff because I wanted people to be kind to each other. I don't want people fighting all the time." But she said she has come to see things differently. "My concern with transgender is mostly with the children. We can't vote until we're a certain age. We can't smoke or drink or whatever. But we can change our body's anatomy and how it works. It just doesn't seem like that's okay to me." Now, of course, the Washington Post, being a leftist newspaper, was quoting this woman as a negative example of some millennials being anti-trans. But it certainly demonstrates how God's truth can change minds, how Alyssa's mind was changed by listening to Christian podcasts. If all someone listens to is the popular media, the devil's argument for transgenderism, he will be duped. But the entrance of God's word brings light. It gives understanding to the simple. It gives sound reasoning and moral clarity. In the book of Jude, which is all about confronting LGBTQ, three groups are described. First, the incorrigible wicked, who are marked out for condemnation. Second, the godly, who are in the love of God. And third, a group that's teachable. And we're told to have mercy on this third group. And the metaphor is given that we need to snatch them out of the fire, save them from the judgment, and bring them over to God. And this is why, as ministers of the gospel, which includes all Christians, need to speak up against transgenderism, to save people like Alyssa Wells, to save them from the 2 Thessalonians 2:10 great deception of wickedness that will come upon the world. Now, of course, those who believe in LGBTQ and transgenderism believe that Christian morality is the great evil deception that has come upon the world, that Christianity is a human construct made up by the powerful to oppress the weak. But isn't that what this is all about? Who is evil? God or Satan? We would expect those who are on the side of the devil and on the side of man's autonomy from God to increasingly teach that God and his moral laws are evil. Well, why? Because of their humanistic worldview, that God is not letting you be your own God. Now, this Washington Post article was all about a poll done by the Post concerning support for transgenderism in America. The article is entitled, "Most Americans Support Anti-Trans Policies Favored by the GOP, the Republicans, Poll Show." And the polls came up with the same percentages that many other polls are finding. About 60% of Americans are opposed to transgenderism and 40% in favor, give or take a few percentage points. In my first program about the transgender worldview, I commented that transgenderism is a huge movement sweeping our country. A listener posted a comment on YouTube. Quote, "The comment you said about it's becoming accepted by the mainstream, I don't know exactly. Because look at what has happened to Bud Light after trying to promote their beer with a transgender." Well, let me answer that question and explain why I actually believe transgenderism and LGBTQ is the mainstream majority. When these polls are taken, they often ask what people believe personally for themselves, not necessarily what they believe the government should require of others. Many other polls show that the majority of the public is against anti-LGBTQ laws in America, even though personally they do not practice LGBTQ. Even in that Washington Post poll, the 60% were not against transgenderism. It was 60% in favor of restrictions affecting transgenderism for children. And this brings up the whole issue of LGBTQ allies and their supporters. The sin of Sodom was not that everyone was practicing homosexuality, but that the people of the city were allies and supporters of homosexuality. They believe that people should have the freedom to do what they want to do morally. Satan doesn't care whether or not someone is practicing morality or immorality, as long as he's doing it on his own terms. The satanic motto is, "Do what thou wilt." That people should be autonomous from God and be allowed to do whatever they want, free to determine their own moral choices. So 95% of Americans could be personally straight, but if they approve of and legally support the immorality of the 5%, they're just as guilty. In Judges 19, the sin of the tribe of Benjamin was not that all of the Benjamites were like the immoral men of Gibeah, but that all of the tribe of Benjamin came to the support of the immoral freedom of the men of Gibeah. And so this is the great error that's sweeping America and that has convinced the politicians to legalize immorality, that the standard for morality is no longer the moral law of God, but human freedom. And God will judge us not merely by what we do, but by what we believe and what we support. I had one listener ask me the question, how are we to address coworkers and neighbors who personally don't believe in transgenderism, but believe that the government shouldn't tell people what to do, that the government shouldn't legislate morality? And that's really where most Americans are at. And that view of government and that view of law has been the foot in the door that has legalized all sorts of sin, from abortion to gambling to prostitution to gay marriage to transgenderism. And since most people get their views concerning right and wrong based upon what is legal or illegal, once these behaviors have been legalized by the state, people believe they must be morally acceptable. Well, the answer is that the state is called of God to answer to God's higher authority. Romans chapter 13, the state is to be an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. We're not asking the state to be the church, we're asking the state to do the job of the state. And furthermore, we are our brother's keeper. Genesis chapter 4, verse 9, and no man lives to himself and no man dies to himself. Romans 14, 17, when judgment falls on the ungodly for their sin, it falls on the entire nation. Corporate responsibility and corporate judgment is one of the unspoken driving forces behind Christian political activism, that we're personally responsible to stop national sin. And all of the Old Testament prophets, Elijah, Elisha, John the Baptist, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, even Christ himself operated on the principle that God's people are responsible to save people from their sin. But now practically, when you talk to your neighbors and coworkers about this, you probably won't get enough of a hearing to explain all that, but this one line says it all. The sin of Sodom that brought down God's judgment was not just homosexuality, but the public accepting homosexuality. So back to my main point. Read what is behind these polls. 60% of Americans are not truly morally opposed to LGBTQ. It's probably more like 10%. And that 10% tends to be those true Christians who are getting their moral compass informed by the Word of God. You know, after that Budweiser transgender ad, Budweiser sales went down 26%. Not 90%, not 70%, not 40%, but only 26%. Now, the left was taken back by the Bud Light blowback. Certainly those in the marketing department, you know, who live in the bubble of their own leftist friends didn't expect that kind of negative response. But for the left, this is nothing really to be too concerned about. It's only 26% of Bud Light consumers who care enough about the issue to boycott the beer. California legislators tweeted out a picture of some of the Democrats in California, including Adam Schiff, holding up Bud Lights in support of Budweiser. If 26% are not supporting Budweiser over its promotion of transgenderism, realize that 74% are. And the LGBTQ lobby is using this event to raise money, to make the case that they're being victimized and marginalized, and this is why they need to get into public schools to re-educate the next generation into accepting gender choice. Back in 1996, only 27% of Americans supported homosexual marriage. Now, 25 years later, 70% support homosexual marriage. And the left believes the same will be true for transgenderism and gender choice. They have the wind at their back. And every year they will gain a percentage point or two because most of the public is not getting their moral education from the church, but from television and movies. Now that shouldn't depress us. In a short time, God's going to reestablish his truth and his authority. God is simply allowing this sin to proliferate at this time so that in a tangible, physical way, people will demonstrate which side they're on. But this culture war is an opportunity for us to practice Jude verse 22 and 23 to save some, snatching them out of the fire. Jude verse 22, and have mercy on some who are doubting, save others, snatching them out of the fire, and have mercy with fear, hating even the garments polluted by the flesh. So now a Bible study. There are three interpretations to Jude 22. The phrase, have mercy on some who are doubting. Literally in the Greek, have mercy on some discerning or judging. Dikrino, the typical New Testament word for judging. Now, the New American Standard Bible takes this to mean that some people to whom we ought to be merciful to are still questioning or judging the rightness or wrongness of the immorality of the ungodly Sodomites described in the previous verses. So the translation is, have mercy on those who are doubting or questioning, but not questioning their gender, as is often said today, but questioning the whole transgender narrative. The King James translates it, on some have compassion, making a difference. The word dikrino means to separate or to make a division. And so the King James translators thought that this might mean that by having compassion on some, one can make a separation in the world, or rather make a difference in the world. The third translation comes from the New King James Version. On some have compassion, making a distinction. And that translation sees the point that the person who is doing the evangelism needs to have some discernment concerning whom to have mercy on. So it goes on to say in verse 23, who are the some that you can pluck out of the fire? So the one translation is that the one you are evangelizing, the one you're being merciful to, must be teachable. The second translation is that by evangelizing, you're making a difference in the world. And the third possible translation is that the evangelist himself must use discernment. Now, unfortunately, when presenting these possible translations in a church setting, or the translation of any text, many people will say that the right translation is the one they like, the one that fits what they personally identify with, or the one that they can use. Kind of like the pastor who gives a translation that best fits the point he's trying to make in a sermon. And that's not right, because it doesn't matter what you like or what you think it ought to mean. What matters is what the grammar supports. And in the Jude verse 22 case, given the use and the meaning of the word dikrino, the text is saying, have mercy on some and show discernment concerning who you should have mercy on. Well, this brings me to my final point, and that's this phenomenon of social contagion. That might be a new term for many, but it simply means peer pressure. But not just pressure from peers, but pressure from the entire culture. And in the context of children and transgenderism, what studies are showing is that this huge outbreak of children claiming to be transgender is happening because of social contagion. Young people with emotional problems, and what young person is not going through an avalanche of emotional issues as they're going through puberty? But young people with emotional problems are going on the internet and learning from social media and articles and transgender influencers and public school sex ed classes that their emotional problems might be due to the fact that they're transgender, that their bodies don't agree with their real gender. And this social contagion, what we might call social indoctrination, is what's causing so many young people to come out as transgender. Young people are easily influenced, and that's why Marxists always target the youth. And this indoctrination is child abuse. And when these young people grow up, after having their bodies castrated and mutilated, many will realize they have been deceived by these LGBTQ ideologues. And as far as Jude verse 22 is concerned, these young people are certainly those upon whom we must show mercy and pluck them out of the fire. Now, that the explosion of transgenderism is a social contagion made headlines by a study done by a Dr. Lisa Littman, a professor at Brown University back in 2018. And she coined the term rapid onset gender dysphoria to describe how so many adolescents were suddenly becoming transgender. And what she found was that these young people all had other emotional difficulties or were in crisis situations, and claiming to be transgender was a way they could cope, a way they could gain attention, a way to control others, a way to find authority and power. So Littman's study was at first well received by her colleagues until the LGBT community got a hold of it and they went all in against her and Brown University. Brown University is known to be extremely left-leaning. And so they quickly renounced the study, and Dr. Lippman has since had to leave her teaching position at Brown. And if you go on Wikipedia and look up Dr. Lippman and her study, Wikipedia quotes the Human Rights Campaign, quote, "Opponents of trans people specifically used junk science by Lisa Lippman at Brown University to falsely claim that access to social media and the internet has created a contagion that causes many young people to mistakenly identify as transgender." But Lippman's study was not junk science. But of course, the LGBT community cannot accept this because according to their ideology, they believe these young people are actually transgender. That many people are living in bodies that do not conform to their real gender. For them, the explosion of young people coming out as transgender cannot be because of social contagion, but because this is the way people really are. And their real identity has been suppressed by made-up Christian morals. LGBTQ ideologues believe Christianity has been fostered on society by a social contagion, one that's not natural to man. And so it's the social contagion of Christianity that needs to be overturned. Listen to the statement from the Transgender Manifesto by Ian Malone. Quote, "The conservative ideologue sees LGBTQ rights as an affront to the traditional way of life for some reason. We are attacked as phonies, pretenders, even perverts just for being who we are. There are people who wish for us to go back into the shadows, the closet, never to return. Many of these people who wish to deny us our very legitimacy, who denounce us as mentally ill deviants, spend an hour each week paying homage to an ever-present, yet non-interventionalist man in the sky. They go to courts across the land to defend their right to praise that uncorroborated deity at the expense of other people's civil liberties. To them, we the living, the transgender people who walk the earth are fake, but the man up there, he is real." Unquote, Ian Thomas Malone from the Transgender Manifesto. The title of my program is The Transgender Worldview. What I want us to understand is that it all comes down to a war against God. Unbelief, as the scripture defines it, but as the scriptures also teach, it's not an intellectual issue, but a moral heart issue. In this transgender movement, we're seeing one more evidence of what the Bible teaches about mankind being the enemy of God. It's one thing to read this in scriptures. It's a whole other education when we see it in practice and have the biblical truth confirmed. Just hold on to your hat, because this raw outbreak of rebellion against God will increasingly come to the surface in the days to come. This is the 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, great rebellion that's going to usher in the man of lawlessness. So the world is faced with two ways, two paths, two worldviews, two ideologies: to go the way of Christ or to go the way of the devil. How do we know which way is right? Well, by natural law, by the written word of God, by their fruits you will know them. But ultimately, those who are Christ's sheep will hear his voice, and they will follow him. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The website to listen to this program again or other past programs is godandcountryradio.org. The extended video version of this program is at YouTube and Rumble, at the channel God and Country Biblical Exposition. But all of those links you can find at the website, godandcountryradio.org. Thanks for listening. Thanks for your support. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, help us to explain to this generation the choice that must be made, and help us to pluck many out of the fire. For the glory of Christ, in whose name we pray, amen.